Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 11. In verse 3, the Word of God says, and it's just talking about Jesus here, that God will make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Jesus would not judge according to what he saw, and he would not reprove according to what he heard. Now, in John chapter 5 and verse 37, the Word of God says, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, and this of course is Jesus speaking, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And in John chapter 14 and verse 8, the Word of God says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus would not walk by sight, and Jesus would not walk by the hearing of the ears, what people would say. We're different. We fail because we are different. We walk by sight, and we walk by the hearing of the ears. We look at something and we come up with a conclusion. We hear something and we make a determination, and perhaps we act on what we have heard. However, that is failure. Jesus said we are to be like him. He did not walk by sight, nor did he evaluate or interact, correct or condone by the hearing of the ears. He was not interested in that. What was he interested in? In verse 37 of John 5, he was interested in those things that he heard of his Father. He wasn't interested in those things that he heard from his disciples or from the Pharisees. He wasn't interested in what he heard from the woman at the well or Mary, except that they should bring a concern to him about their own lives. He did not look at Peter and say, Peter, you're a mess, you're a failure. Jesus would listen to what the Father would say to him, and that was the foundation of his thinking, his interactions, his evaluations. But that was the extent of it. He didn't bring anything else into the picture. He said to the Pharisees in John 9 and verse 41, if you were blind, you should have no sin. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore, your sin remains. The Pharisees said, we know who you are. We understand we see. We heard certain things. We know we see. And Jesus said, if you would say that you don't know, that you don't see, that you haven't heard, there wouldn't be a problem for you. But because you say we see, because you say we know, because you say we understand, because you say we get it, because you say we listen, your sin remains. And this is a problem that we have as people. We see, therefore we think we know. We hear, therefore we think we can consider. We walk by the sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. And that's a problem. Because in fact, we cannot, even though we think we cannot walk by the sight of the eyes, and we cannot walk by the hearing of the ears. You know what we really do and what we really can do is this. What we really do is we walk by the hearing of the eyes, and what we need to do is walk by the seeing of the ears. You don't walk by the seeing of the eyes. No one is capable of walking by the seeing of the eyes. What they will do is walk by the hearing of the eyes. This is why Jesus wouldn't do it. Because in reality, in the spiritual realm, the eyes hear and the ears see. You have to understand what it means to be a human being and how the brain works if you are to understand why Jesus would not listen or look. Your eyes are there for one thing, to keep you from walking into walls. You need a drink of water, your eyes will show you where the faucet is. But that's about the extent of it. Now, let's take a look at how it works. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, "Hath God said, take away her ears so she can't see properly." Hath God said. If Eve saw by her ears, she would have never evaluated the tree as being pleasant to the eyes. She needed to see by the hearing of her ears. What Satan does, as well as what he did then, because he doesn't do anything new, he said to her, "Eve, don't listen to God, so that you would see correctly." If she saw by what she heard, she would have seen that it was Satan's tree. But she didn't see it. Instead, he got her to stop hearing so that she would stop seeing. We can only see by the hearing of the ears. And his sister, "Hath God said?" And then he tricked her even further. And in the original language, he said, "Does it make any sense that you should not be able to eat of this tree when you can eat of every other tree? Don't see with your ears, and does it make any sense?" No discernment, no wisdom. She had it while she would see according to her ears. But the moment he got her to stop seeing by her ears, she lost wisdom, she lost discernment, and she lost the ability to respond to God with positive volition to what he had said. You never, never walk by sight. The moment he did that, he got her to do something different. He got her to hear according to the seeing of her eyes. In verse 5, "For God doth know, in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw. Open your eyes. And the woman saw. What did she see? No longer did she see in Genesis 2:17, "You can eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of good and evil, lest you die." She didn't see that anymore. What she saw was that the tree was pleasant to the eyes. Why? She saw according to the hearing of her ears. What did her ears hear such that she saw it? The day that you eat of it, Eve, God knows your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods. And all of a sudden, Eve taps into a lust pattern. And she heard according to what she saw. So, look at the tree, Eve. And now she starts to hear what he said. Look at that. It's a tree that's pleasant for the eyes and is good for food. No longer is it the poison tree. It's a tree that's pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Before that, we're not going to touch it. Forget that God didn't say we're not going to touch it. We're not even going to touch it. Because this is a dangerous tree. I'm not even going to touch it. Eve, see and hear, not hear and see. And so she did exactly what the devil wanted. And she saw and heard. It was pleasant to the eyes. She accepted the lie. You see why Jesus would not walk by sight or hearing? Do you see why Jesus would only accept what the Father had said? But he would not walk by sight and he would not walk by hearing. And the woman saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. If I hear according to my sight, then I will think what is undesirable is to be desired. I will think that by sight I can get wisdom. By fellowshipping with the wrong thing, I can have insight. But it didn't work that way. That was Satan's strategy. It's still Satan's strategy today. He says, walk by sight, and you'll have understanding. Listen, and you'll have knowledge. Forget about what God has said. Walk by your own understanding, walk by your sight, and walk by your hearing. Get empirical evidence, get empirical input, and you will have wisdom. Forget what the Bible said. Depart from it. Oh, you don't have to depart from it altogether. Make sure you go to church so you can be a good little Christian. But don't apply what it says and the practicalities of the details. Don't apply it. Your sight and your hearing is much more reliable. So don't apply it. But you got to be a good little Christian and go to church. Oh, by the way, make sure it's not a church where the cross is. Make sure it's a church where you can preserve something, where you can save your life, where you can feel perfectly reasonable and good about sight and hearing, because after all, that's objectivity. Eve. Then it continues in verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were open. Now watch this progression. The eyes of both of them were open. And they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. How did they know they were naked? Their eyes were open. Before, when they saw according to as they heard, they weren't naked. And in reality, they weren't naked. They had God's perfect covering. Naked was not an outward condition. Naked is an inward condition. They were naked outwardly and inwardly covered, and when they started walking by sight, they covered themselves outwardly but left themselves naked inwardly. We humans are such a paradox. Anything we do in our natural thinking is totally, completely backwards. And Satan designed it. Every time when we walk by sight or when we evaluate by hearing, Satan is behind it. Jesus would not walk by sight. He wouldn't evaluate. He wouldn't reprove. He wouldn't consider. He wouldn't praise by the things that he heard. Because Jesus refused to be backwards. Jesus said, if you said you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you see, your sin remains. Because you walked and evaluated by sight and you considered by hearing. You left the Word of God, he's telling them, in your own natural reasoning. So Eve heard according to her eyes. And then they were naked. And then it continues in verse 11. Now watch this. God comes, finds them, and he says, who told you you were naked? Well, in verse 7, nobody told him. They saw. And God says, who told you? My eyes told me. I walked by the hearing of the eyes. And I knew I was naked because I walked by the hearing of the eyes. Who told you you were naked? My eyes did. Who told you it is this way? My eyes did. Who told you that God is not faithful, that the situation is bad? Who told you what that person is doing? My eyes did. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say, I see, your sin remains. Well, that person told me. And after all, if somebody told me, it must be so. And your sin remains. How many schisms in the body of Christ happen because people hear according to the eyes? Because people evaluate by sight and by hearing. Somebody told me. I saw it. Somebody told me. After all, my eyes don't lie. After all, people's reports are reliable. Your sin remains. Pastor Stevens in the back hallway, I think this was the perfect example of it. Embracing a woman he's not married to. And the woman who saw it goes, Pastor, how could you? Your sin remains, lady. Not realizing that that morning, that precious lady's husband had died and she came to her spiritual father for comfort. Your sin remains, lady. She judged according to the seeing of her eyes. She heard what Satan said, an accusation, because she saw. This is why God said in James 4:11, you don't even listen. You don't even listen. So it's my best friend. You don't even listen. So your best friend, you don't fight against flesh and blood. If your best friend hands his vocal cords over to the devil for 5 minutes, you're going to be okay with it? Do you think it's not possible? It happens all the time. That's one of Christianity's biggest problems. Because people hear according to the seeing of the eyes. Oh, I see my friend. I'll listen to the devil. But he's my friend. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus said to Peter. Peter was his buddy. Peter was one of three that he always took with him. He said, John, Peter, James, come with me. You're coming with me. We're going to raise this little girl from the dead. Come on, guys. Fellas, let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Just the three of us. I'm going to need your help in prayer. Come on, guys. Peter, who was so close to him. Peter, who heard as he saw, and said, "You're not going to the cross, Jesus. Get behind me, Satan." Now, how long after he said to Peter, "The Father has revealed this unto you," did he say, "Get behind me, Satan"? My Bible says that was the very next statement. His buddy Peter lent his vocal cords to the devil, and Jesus recognized the devil because he would not walk by sight and by hearing. Instead, he heard as the Father spoke to him. He did not hear according to sight. But people hear according to sight. My buddy Peter, what is that, pal? Oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. You don't want anything bad to happen to me. You're so sweet. You don't want me to go to the cross. You're so sweet, Peter. You're such a good guy. You're my buddy. You're looking out. You got my back covered, Peter. Oh, you're such a sweetheart. Devil! I wonder what would happen in the body of Christ if somebody came as an accuser of the brethren and they said, "Get behind me, devil! You hurt my feelings. That's because you're the devil right now. Take your vocal cords back," and I'll say, "The Holy Spirit or the Father or the Word of God has revealed this to you. I love you, Peter, but you're the devil at the moment." James 4:11, Revelation 12:10. It's in your Bible. See, we tend to hear according to our sight. We really need to see according to our ears. Because if we hear according to our sight, "Peter, you're such a buddy. How do you think the Garden of Gethsemane would have gone for him when the warfare came? Jesus in the garden, night before his crucifixion, finished the supper with his disciples. Peter, John, James, come with me. I need your help in prayer." And every demon, and scholars tell us that may be 250 million demons that fell in Revelation chapter 12. Every demon is attacking Jesus, attacking God incarnate, to the point where he is perspiring blood. How do you think it would have gone if he didn't say to Peter, "Devil," and he said to him, "Buddy," instead? "You're my pal. My pal doesn't want me to go to the cross, and here I am being attacked, trying to get me to not go to the cross, because he set his face like a flint toward that cross." See, there's a problem. If we hear according to our sight, Isaiah 14:29 says, "The rod of him that smote thee is broken." What does that mean? The rod is the Word of God. And our correction comes through the Word of God. "The rod of him that smote thee is broken." What happens when the rod of him that smote thee is broken? "Out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." A flying serpent. What is a flying serpent? The serpent travels through the air and he bites. This is what it means. I receive things I ought not receive because I'm walking by sight, natural thinking. Sentimental to Peter. and I receive things I ought not receive, and a cockatrice egg enters into my frame of reference, into my heart, and it turns into a fiery flying serpent. And now I can't help myself. I start repeating it. And I start planting cockatrice eggs in the other people's hearts. And it's a fiery flying serpent. Why? Adam, this tree is amazing. A fiery flying serpent. Adam, you've got to try this fruit. This fruit tastes so sweet. A fiery flying serpent. Hey, you know what happened? We have to pray. You know what happened? A fiery flying serpent. Walking by sight. Not by what the Father has said, but by the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears, and the eyes can't see and the ears can't hear. And if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you see, your sin remains. These are very sober and powerful things. What happens when I have a cockatrice egg? In Proverbs 23 and verse 8, the morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit up, and you will lose your sweet words. You will lose your ability to communicate with love. You will lose your ability to operate in faith. You will lose your ability to be edifying. You will lose your ability to have the right things coming out of your heart, because whatever is in the heart comes out of the mouth. And you lose your ability. Never hear according to the seeing of the eyes. You see, if I see something and I have a cockatrice egg, I'm not going to be able to help it. I will make a judgment. We're human beings, that's how it works. I will make a judgment. And when I make that judgment, I'm going to hear according to the judgment I have made. That's the way the brain works. It's not something a person does consciously. Things have entered into the unconscious mind. And that unconscious mind starts to interpret for the conscious mind. And so I will hear, but I won't be able to hear truth, because I've been infected with a lie. And I won't be able to hear truth. And the truth will sound to me like a lie. I'll never forget when I came to this area, and certain people said to me, the finished work was such a foreign message that I didn't want to believe it. Why? Because they received a lie and they thought the truth was the lie. Well, it works that way with our brains. When something enters into the unconscious mind that is a cockatrice egg, it will then start interpreting for the conscious mind, and I won't be able to recognize truth, and I won't be able to recognize a lie, and I won't be able to recognize the Holy Spirit, and I won't be able to recognize the devil. And I'll call the devil my friend, and I'll say the Spirit is off the mark. Why? Seeing and hearing. I heard what I saw, and I've lost my sweet words. And the morsel is vomited up. That little bit that I had that was good, I throw it up, I reject it, and I say, I can't deal with it, I can't handle it, it's not right, it's completely wrong, and all the meantime, I've got a cockatrice egg. And I lose the morsel and I lose the sweet words. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you
see your sin remains.
In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. I can of my own self do nothing. I don't act, I don't talk, I don't think, I don't look, I don't hear, I don't try of my own self. Then he continues, as I hear, I judge. Who does he hear from? Verse 37, hears from the Father. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Oh, I'm not seeking my will. No, of course not. Sometimes we seek the will of the devil and we don't even know it. Because it's my buddy, my best friend, who put me up to it. Oh, but I didn't know, I believed him. You have the Word of God. If you didn't know, it's because you left the Word. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear of the Father, that's my judgment. Get behind me, devil. That's what you say to the accusers of the brethren. Get behind me, devil. That's what you say to those who will accuse God. Get behind me, devil. That's what you say to those who accuse the ways of God. Get behind me, devil. That's what you say to those who accuse conviction. Get behind me, devil. Ah, you can drink just a little bit. Not a problem to drink just a little bit. Get behind me, devil. Oh, I don't care if that guy's not saved. I'm interested in him. He's a good-looking guy and he likes me. And I'm going to marry this unsaved guy. And look, people think it's awesome. Get behind me, devil. Oh, I can look at that stuff on TV. It doesn't really influence me. For those people who are completely ignorant of the way that the brain works, get behind me, devil. Let's try this one. Pornography won't really affect anything. I'm not actually going out there and sleeping with somebody. Get behind me, devil. You look at that woman in that picture and you're already an adulterer. By the way, Romans chapter 1, no adulterer goes into heaven. Knock yourself out with your pornography. Number one sin in the Christian church, outward sin, not inward, outward sin. It's pornography. 2/3 men, 1/3 women. Get behind me, devil. You get that temptation in your little old heart to look at pornography. You say, get behind me, devil. Don't you fool yourself. Don't be a spiritual moron. That's the devil who's tempting you into that. You get behind me, devil, with your pornography. You get behind me, devil, with your booze. You get behind me, devil, with your fornication, with your fooling around, with your making out with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You get behind me, devil, with your accusations. You get behind me, devil, with your evil reports against other people. You get behind me, devil, telling me you're my buddy. You're not my buddy. You're my worst enemy. You're God's enemy. You're gonna fry like a pancake, and I'm glad about it. Get behind me, devil. Jesus says, of my own self, I can do nothing. As I hear of my Father, I judge, and my judgment is just. Now, it was really interesting. He said in Isaiah 11:3, he did not judge according to the sight of the eyes. I hear and I judge. Jesus saw by his ears. He did not hear by his eyes. He saw by his ears. We always and only can see by our ears. That is the only way we can see. It is by our ears in Romans 10:17 and Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And faith is the assurance of things we cannot see. Conviction of realities unseen. confidence of realities unseen through faith which I hear. And so I hear the voice of the teacher saying, "This is the way. Walk you in it." I hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit guiding me in all truth. I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I hear the voice of the Word of God. I hear the voice of the living Savior in the living Word giving me conviction and definition for my life, and I don't hear the voice of the devil. Why? Because I see according to the hearing of my ears. My ears can see. Yes, my eyes can hear. But that leads me into the same place where Adam ended up. Where he said, "I'm naked," and God said, "Who said it to you?" But my ears can see. If Eve saw with her ears, she would have known what the tree really looked like. Jesus, you're not going to the cross. You're my buddy, and I love you, and I care about you, and I'm not going to have that happen. Jesus, come on. Jesus saw with his ears and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he knew who he was looking at. Get behind me, Satan. Are you accusing the plan of God, Satan? Are you accusing the ways of God, Satan? Are you accusing the people of God, Satan? Are you accusing the thoughts of God, Satan? Are you accusing God, Satan? Get behind me, Satan. And he said it because he heard. And he saw by his ears. You can always recognize by the seeing of the ears what you're looking at. There were no cockatrice eggs coming to Jesus' heart. There's no cockatrice eggs that come into our heart when we see with our ears and we judge as we heard. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are not seen were not made of things which do appear." Not by sight. Not by sight. It didn't happen by sight. It happened by the Word. It didn't happen by sight. This is why the evolutionists cannot figure it out, because they do not know the power of the living Word. That's why it doesn't make sense to them that it could happen in 6 days. They look at the vastness of it, scratch their heads and say, 6 days? That's not feasible. Well, you know, if I walk by sight, I try to look for what's feasible. And the evolutionists come up with what's feasible. And that's their standard. I'll never forget debating with a professor when I was in a Master's of Science program. And he's talking about feasibility. Well, evolution says, and it's feasible. And I said to him, just because it's feasible doesn't make it true. And he couldn't say a word because he knew that was right. Feasibility is not a standard for anything, but it is the best I can do with my eyes. And if I hear with my eyes, feasibility is what I'm looking for. Feasibility is what I'm listening to. But feasibility depends on my own natural interpretation, and it doesn't rely on God's Word, because God's Word says the worlds were made by faith we know it, through the Word of God, and God didn't use the things that can be seen to make that which is seen. He wasn't going to create like the devil interprets. God wasn't interested in feasible, He was interested in His Word. And His Word established truth in John 17:17. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, the soul that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just live by faith." You could paraphrase it this way. Behold, the soul that hears with his eyes is not upright in him, but the just see with their ears. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth in John 16:13. I've never seen a time, in fact there has never been a time, when the Holy Spirit planted a cockatrice egg. I've never seen a time, in fact there never has been a time, when the Holy Spirit would undertake the Revelation 12:10 ministry of the devil. Instead, the Holy Spirit, residing in Christ, said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And the Father, Son, and Spirit, at the end of the millennial reign, are going to cast that very same Satan into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's a serious thing if we try to hear with our eyes. It's also a serious thing, or to be taken seriously, that we need to see with our ears. Behold, the soul which is lifted up. Okay, what does that mean? Mind, emotions, conscience, self-consciousness, volition, lifted up. My mind is lifted up. My natural thinking, I can see and understand. I can hear and know. The soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just live by faith that comes by hearing, hearing that comes by the Word. Don't forget something. The faith that we live by, even though Habakkuk 2:4 says that just live by his faith, what is his faith? Well, Ephesians 2:15 tells us who the just is. The one who is just is the one who is one in the one new man, and so his oneness is in Christ. So his faith in Galatians 2:20 is the faith of the Son of God that he now lives by. The same Son of God who would not judge with his eyes or reprove with his ears. The same Son of God who only thought what he heard of the Father. That's the Son of God that we are made one with. So if the soul is lifted up in him, he's living in a practical separation from God, just like Adam's soul became lifted up in him. He saw he was naked, and he separated himself from God. Oh, you may not think you're naked. In fact, you may think you have it all together. Read the last few verses of Revelation chapter 3 in that case. Because the only way that I'm clothed is through the Word of God and my faith responses to it. The just live by the faith of the Son of God. And as the one you man, that is our faith. Not by the hearing of the eyes, but rather by the seeing of the ears. Let me show you how this works. You accept the premise. Peter tried to give Jesus a premise that Jesus rejected. But you hear and you accept a premise and it goes into the unconscious mind. Now here's the thing. You hear the Word of God and it goes into the unconscious mind as well as the conscious and subconscious mind. And it takes over the heart. And because the Word of God is resident, you start to see with your ears because all your perceptions are now interpreted through the Word of God. And now you can see the invisible because you've heard the inaudible. And you did it by faith. And so we hear the Word of God. And in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 3, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit coming from the pulpit. Don't make any mistake about that one. You hear the Word of God. You store it in your heart. And your perceptions become correct. And with correct perceptions, the Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. And He's guiding you. You recognize the truth. You recognize the lie. You recognize the Spirit. And you recognize the devil. You recognize when something is according to His Word. And you recognize when something is contrary to His Word. And that is your standard. We see by the ears. And when we see with our ears, we see everything as it actually is. Amen?